الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in the previous class we began reading the chapter the author he mentioned. حفظه الله تعالى باب قول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عليكم بالجماعة. The chapter with regards to the statement of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, you must hold fast and adhere to Al-Jama'a. We have seen a number of evidences in the previous class clarifying that the majority is not considered the Jama'a. We have seen that the majority of the people, they will not believe. And if one were to follow the majority of the people on earth, then he will be misguided. And that the majority of the people, they're not thankful. And the majority of the people, they don't understand properly. And the majority of the people, they do not adhere to the truth. Rather, they're tried by their desires and whims, and they show preference to the worldly life, and they work according to their lusts and desires, not according to the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the jama'a is the one who is in accordance with the truth, even if he's alone, as has been mentioned by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Inna jama'ata man wafaqa al-haq walau kunta wahdaka. That indeed the jama'a is the one who is in accordance to the truth, meaning the one who's in accordance to the guidance that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if you are alone. So the author, he mentions a number of evidences in this affair. So the author, he mentions a number of evidences in this issue. وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And he mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High, the meaning of which is, and hold fast altogether to the rope of Allah, and do not be divided. And hold fast altogether to the rope of Allah, and do not be divided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions after this, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. And remember, وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. And remember the blessing and favor of Allah upon you, when at one time you were enemies, and then Allah, he united your hearts, and then Allah, by his mercy and by his grace and blessing, he united your hearts and you became brothers. So it's by the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the blessing of al-Islam that the hearts, they become united, and they enter to the fold of al-Islam and become brothers upon the deen and upon the religion of Allah azza wa jalla. And this is the great favor and blessing. This is the great favor and blessing. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا. And indeed you are on the brink of a pit of fire, any close to falling into the hellfire and deviation, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he showed favor and he guided your hearts. So we're ordered to be united, and to not be divided. We're ordered to be united and we're forbidden from being divided. But unification has a means and has a methodology and it has a path. And likewise, dissension and separation and division, also it has means and it has reasons and causes. So to be united, we must take the means of unification and avoid the means that lead to dissension and hatred and animosity in the hearts. And the blessing of al-Islam is the blessing of blessings. The blessing of al-Islam and the Sunnah is the blessing of blessings. And a person, he must learn that properly and correctly and hold fast to that. And in this manner, he will be united upon the truth. And those who oppose the truth and they have a creed contrary or belief contrary or methodology contrary, then they are those who are opposing the Jama'ah. Then they are those who are opposing the Jama'ah. So this is the favor and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessing of al-Islam. And holding fast to the proper and correct understanding of al-Islam is the means for unification. So there are many great benefits with regards to the statement of Allah azza wa jalla, wa'tasimu bihabli llahi jami'an wa la tafarraqu, and hold fast all of you to the rope of Allah together and do not be divided. There are some benefits mentioned by Ibn Qayyim and likewise by An-Nawawi, and other than them from the people of knowledge, we have summarized some of them and we take them now seeking the help and the aid of Allah. So the people of knowledge, they mention al-i'tisamu ifti'arun min al-isma. The word wa'tasimu bihablillah. This is from the verb i'tasama. I'tasimu اعتصم اعتصاما. This is افتعال من العصمة. والعصمة هو ما يحميك ويحفظك ويمنعك مما تخاف منه. العصمة is something you hold on to. It's a means of protection and preservation. And it means to keep you safe. Somebody will take the عصمة, meaning he will hold on to something that will keep him safe from the harms that he fears. So الاعتصام هو التمسك بما يعصمك ويمنعك من المحظور والمخوف. الاعتصام is to hold fast to something that will protect you from something that you are afraid of or some harm or danger that you are leery of. So this is what we're ordered here, to make al-i'tisam. To make al-i'tisam, meaning to hold fast, but not to hold fast to desires, and not to hold fast to opinions, not to hold fast to cultures and customs, but rather to hold fast to the rope of Allah. Rather to hold fast to the rope of Allah, meaning hold fast to the guidance that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and show preference to that. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, rahimahullah, al-i'tisamu nu'ani. Al-i'tisam nu'ani. That this holding fast, this i'tisam, is from two aspects. I'tisamun billah wa i'tisamun bihablillah. There is al-i'tisam, holding fast to Allah, and holding fast to the rope of Allah. Holding fast to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-i'tisamun billah wa i'tisamun bihablillah. To hold fast to Allah and to hold fast to the rope of Allah. These are two different affairs, and we're ordered with both of them. And we're ordered with both of them. He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, madaru sa'adati fi dunya wal akhirah ala al-i'tisami billahi wa al-i'tisami bihablihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That happiness and bliss and felicity, all goodness in this life and the hereafter, revolves around holding fast to Allah and holding fast to the rope of Allah. He mentioned, rahimahullah, wala najata illa liman istamsaka bihatayni. There is no safety and savior except for the one who holds fast to these two affairs. Holds fast to these two affairs. فَأَمَا الْاِعْتِصَامُ بِحَبْلِهِ فَإِنَّهُ يَعْصِمُ مِنَ الضَّلَالِ. As for holding fast to the rope of Allah, then this will protect you from misguidance. وَمَا الْاِعْتِصَامُ بِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فَيَعْصِمُ مِنَ الْهَلَكَ. And as for holding fast to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this will save you from perishing and from falling into harm and great danger and destruction. So Allah, he referred to this affair in his book, wa'tasimu billahi huwa mawlakum fa ni'mal mawla wa ni'ma an-nasir. Allah, he says, and hold fast to Allah, and hold fast to Allah, indeed he is your true Lord and protector, and he is the best protector and the best one to aid and help. And then Allah, he mentioned likewise in his book, وَمَنْ يَعْتَسِمْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ هُدِيَ إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Whoever holds fast to Allah, then indeed he will be guided to the straight path. And Allah, he mentioned, like we have here in this evidence, وَاعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold fast to the rope of Allah altogether, and do not be denied, and do not be divided. So there's two issues here. عَرَيْتِسَامُوا بِاللَّهِ وَالْإِتِصَامُ بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. That one, he will hold fast to Allah. And so one issue is holding fast to Allah, and the other was holding fast to the rope of Allah. To the rope of Allah. So holding fast to the rope of Allah is a means to be safe from misguidance and deviation. And holding fast to Allah is a means to be safe from harm and danger. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, rahimahullah, السَّائِرُ فِي الطَّرِيقِ يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى هدايه الطريق والسلامه فيها. This is because a person who's traversing upon a path, he's in need of guidance on the path, and also in need to be safe upon the path. So it's one thing to be guided to the path and traverse upon the path, and it's another to make it down the path safely. So many people, they're guided to the path, but they're not upon the path safely. Rather, while they're on the path, they face many harms and dangers and problems and issues. And many times these dangers and harms, our problems and issues, are means to lead a person away from the path and to misguide him or to slow him and deter him on the path. So a person, he's in need of guidance to the path and in general, and then he's in need of detailed guidance upon the path. And he's in need for Allah to grant him safety and aid him and help him upon the path until he lives and dies upon sincere faith, and thus being from the people of paradise. Because some people, they live upon faith, but they do not die upon faith. And that which is considered is the outcome, is the final outcome. Many people, they live upon faith and die upon faith. And others, they live upon faith, but they die upon disbelief. And some, they live a lifetime of disbelief, and then Allah guides their hearts, and they enter into the fold of faith. They live after that upon faith and die upon faith. I mean, this is from the favor and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the affair. We have to hold fast to the rope of Allah to be guided on the path, and hold fast to Allah azza wa jalla to be protected and steadfast upon that guidance. So the clarification of the meaning of these issues, they come. And the people of knowledge, they differed with regards to the interpretation of the rope of Allah. What does that mean? And sometimes we'll find that the scholars of tafsir, they differ with regards to the interpretation of some verses, but sometimes that differing is not in contradiction. Rather, all of the explanations are in harmony, and aspects of the meanings of a particular verse. So one verse, maybe it contains many meanings, and one person will interpret it with to intend one meaning, and another to intend another meaning, and there's no contradiction, and all of those meanings are included. And all of those meanings are included. And this is the example that we have now. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum, I mentioned the meaning, wa'tasimu bihablillah, ay tamassaku bidinillah, meaning hold fast to the deen of Allah. Ibn Mas'ud, he mentioned huwa al-jama'ah, the rope of Allah is the jama'ah, the congregation. And the main is the jama'ah. And we've seen what is intended by that in our previous class. The one who is in accordance to the truth, the one who is upon that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was upon, and his companions, radiallahu anhum. So Ibn Mas'ud, he said, the rope of Allah, hablullahu al-jama'ah. Wa qala alaykum bil-jama'ah. Fa innaha hablullahi alladhi amara bihi. Wa innama takrahuna fil-jama'ati wa ta'ati khayrun mimma tuhibbuna fil-furqa. He said, hold fast to the jama'ah, because indeed the jama'ah is the rope of Allah, and that is what Allah, he has ordered and commanded. And that which you dislike while you're in unity and obedience is better than that which you like and prefer while you are divided. This narration will come, and we discuss some benefits with regards to that, insha'Allah. Mujahid and Ata', both of them mention Hablullah, ay, wa'tasimu bihablillah, ay, bi'ahdillah, with the covenant of Allah. Any with the shahada and la ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is all similar, holding fast to the shahada, to the covenant with Allah, or to the deen of Allah, or to the jama'ah, which is those who are upon that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon his companions, meaning the deen of Allah and the covenant of Allah azza wa jal. And Qatada and the Sudi and many of the scholars of tafsir, they mentioned that the rope of Allah is the Quran. And all of these interpretations, although they are different, they're all included. The rope of Allah is included. And the one who holds fast to the deen of Allah, to the covenant of Allah, and to the book of Allah, then indeed he's holding on to that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon and his companions. So all of the meanings, although they appear to differ, but they all lead back to one understanding, and that is holding fast to the guidance that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It has been connected by Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَضَى لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا وَيَكْرَهُ لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا, that indeed Allah is pleased with you for three things, and he dislikes for you three things. فَيَرَضَى لَكُمْ أَن تَعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. So Allah is pleased for you to worship him alone, and to not associate any partners with him in worship. وَأَن تَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and that you hold fast altogether to the rope of Allah, and that you are not divided. وَيَكْرَهُ لَكُمْ قِيلَ وَقَالَ وَكَثْرَةَ السُّؤَالِ وَإِضَاعَةَ الْمَالِ, and he dislikes for you, he said, she said, he said, she said, and you're talking all the time with no benefit, and asking questions that are not beneficial, and wasting wealth and money. It's been mentioned by Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala in the explanation of this narration, وَأَمَا الْإِعْتِصَامُ بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ فَوَتَمَسُّكُ بِأَهْدِهِ وَاتِّبَاعُ كِتَابِهِ الْعَزِيزِ وحدوده وتأدب بأدبه وتأدب بأدبه. That holding fast to the rope of Allah, this means to hold fast to the covenant of Allah, and that is to follow the mighty book and the limits that are found therein, to discipline oneself with the manners of the Quran. and to discipline oneself with the manners of the Quran. This is very similar to what has been narrated about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whenever his wife Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about his manners. And she said, "Kana khuluqu nabiyikum al-Quran." The manners of your Prophet were the Quran, meaning that he used to discipline himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the etiquettes and manners of the Quran, meaning that he would abide by the commandments in application, follow them, and he would avoid the prohibitions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this manner, he would work and abide by the limits that are found in the Book of Allah. And this is the means for the purification of the soul and the rectification of the heart. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, rahimahullah, al-itisamu bihabadillah, al-muhafadatu ala ta'atihi wal-qiyamu bihuquqihi imanan wahtisab. And I summarize these affairs. So, al-itisamu bihabadillah, holding fast to the rope of Allah, this means to maintain and uphold the rights of obedience and establish the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal with sincere faith, hoping for the reward. Hoping for the reward. So holding onto the rope of Allah means holding onto the obedience of Allah, in public and in private. And this is what is found in the deen of Allah. And this is the covenant that every believer he has whenever he bears witness and testifies that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This requires compliance and obedience and submission and surrender inwardly and outwardly to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his book, and likewise to the orders that are found in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then it's mentioned here, وَاِتِصَامُ بِاللَّهِ. As for the second aspect, holding fast to Allah, وَتَوَكُّلُ عَلَيْهِ وَالْإِمْتِنَاءُ بِهِ وَالْإِحْتِمَاءُ بِهِ وَالسُّؤَالُهُ أَنْ يَحْمِيَ الْعَبْدَ وَيَمْنَعَهُ. And the holding fast to Allah, this means that one, he will put his trust and reliance upon Allah, and he will seek aid and protection and help with Allah, and he will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid him and to protect him and to guide him and to direct him. So al-i'tisam bihablillah is holding fast to the deen of Allah, holding fast to the guidance that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran and the Sunnah, the understanding of the salaf of this ummah. And as for holding fast to Allah, al-i'tisamu billah, then this means that one, he will put his faith and trust and reliance upon Allah. He will have hope and fear in Allah, and he will strive to seek the help of Allah to establish the obedience and to be upright in his faith, inwardly and outwardly, in public and in private. And this is very similar to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in Surah Al-Fatiha. And the statement, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek aid and help from. So we worship Allah alone, but in order to do that, we have to seek the help of Allah, meaning that we put our faith in Allah, we put our trust in Allah, we put our reliance upon Allah, along with taking the physical means that are lawful and permissible to achieve the good that we hope for and to avoid the evil that we are afraid of. So we're not just simply saying, I put my faith in Allah and then do nothing, wait for provision to come, or wait for good in this life to come, or wait for calamities to be removed. Rather, we put our faith and trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla, and then we take the means. We take the lawful means to work for the good of this life and the hereafter, and to be safe from the evils and harms of this life and the hereafter. And this is what it means, al-itisamu billahi azza wa jal, to hold fast to Allah azza wa jal. So here we're ordered to hold fast to the rope of Allah together and to not be divided, and to not be divided. And division, it comes by deviating away from the straight path. We've seen in the previous class that there's a straight path. That path that leads to Jannah, it leads to paradise, it leads to the pleasure of Allah. But along that path, there are other pathways that lead away from that path. So the straight path, to summarize, is in establishing the rights of La ilaha illallah and establishing the rights of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one who establishes these rights and he strives against the soul to uphold that properly, then he is upright upon the straight path, and he is good, and he is performing his duty. But those who fall short in fulfilling those rights, then they're deviating away. Some, they deviate away in innovation, in their creed, in misunderstandings, in the belief, and in methodology. And others, they deviate away and fall into indulging in sins that are impermissible. And all of this is deviation away from the straight path. So a person has to have knowledge and insight in order to have certainty and leave off those misconceptions, innovations, and misunderstandings, and creed, and belief, and the methodology. And likewise, he must have strong determination to hold fast to the guidance and application, and to abide by the commandments and prohibitions wherever he may be. So many people, they learn about the commandments and prohibitions, but they do not prefer them, and they do not hold fast to them, and they violate them, and they take the affairs lightly. So these are the people who are deviating away. These are the people who are exposing themselves to the anger of Allah and the punishment in the hereafter. The one who is holding to the rope of Allah, he must hold on tightly. And in order to hold on sincerely to the rope of Allah, that means a person has to let go of everything that's in contradiction to that. So some people, they're holding on to the rope of Allah, but likewise, they're holding on to some of their customs and cultures as well that are in contradiction. For this reason, they're causing much dissension, and there's problems, and there's issues. And others, they're holding onto the rope of Allah, but likewise, they're holding onto desires as well. They have lust for this life, and they want to have authority and position. So they use the knowledge that they have to manipulate the people, to use them, and to have position and authority in society. So a person, he has to free himself from these affairs and purify his intention for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and let go of the customs and cultures that are contrary to the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and let go of the dunya and hoping for position in this worldly life or status and wealth in this worldly life, and work for the hereafter, and hold on to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly and sincerely, inwardly and outwardly, wholeheartedly. These are those who will be united and truly fulfilling the command, وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا So this is a great commandment and an indication of a great fundamental principle in the religion, that we're ordered to be united and to not be divided. We're ordered to be united and to not be divided. But unification is not by bringing the bodies together. And whether the bodies together or not, that's not going to determine or clarify true unity. And unity, it lies in the heart first. When the hearts are unified and they love each other for the sake of Allah, at this time there's unity. But sometimes the bodies will come together while the hearts, they hate one another. Or they despise one another. And there's disunity, and there's rancor, and there's discord, and there's not in reality unity. تَحْسُوبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. You think that they're united, but their hearts are divided. This is from the attributes of the hypocrites, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. And Allah is referring to this affair that before the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people, they were misguided and they were enemies, especially the Ansar from the believers in Al-Medina. There were two tribes, Al-Aws and Khazraj. And they used to, and Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj, they were brothers. But affairs happened and there were great feuds. And they had great animosity and enmity towards each other before entering into the fold of Al-Islam. And it was from the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal and the guidance of Al-Islam that they became brothers, that they were united. And that's what's being referred to in this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned also in Surah Al-Anfal, هُوَ الَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ بِنَصْرِهِ وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It is Allah who aided you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his support and with the believers. وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. And Allah, he united their hearts. لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. And if you are to spend all of the wealth in the earth, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you would not be able to unite their hearts. I mean, this was how much animosity and hatred that they had. If one were to spend all of the wealth in the world to unite their hearts, one would not be able to unite their hearts. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. But Allah, he united their hearts. And the unification of the hearts was by the blessing of Al-Islam. The fact that they believe in Allah in the last day, and they believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they prefer his laws and legal ways, and they established that in their life until they became united in the favor and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the means for unification. Anything that's contrary to this is the means for dissension and division and violating the rights of unity. Violating the rights of unity, even if they are many. We've seen in the previous class, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned to his prophet that he said, وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. That if you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were to obey the majority of people, the majority of the people on the earth, and they will mislead you from the straight path. So again, the majority is not a proof. rather the proof is in following the religion properly and correctly, as it was clarified by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, leaving off the innovations, leaving off the deviations, and leaving off the desires and whims, and leaving off the customs and cultures that have no evidence or proof in the Book of Allah. So stemming from what has preceded, now we see the importance of this affair, learning and having knowledge, and learning the knowledge coupled with its evidence. So in this manner, we can be united. And whenever a person, he is blind following, many times he will become divided because he does not know the truth and he's not able to follow it correctly. And he will follow the statements of this one and that one, even if it's a contradiction to the very prophet that he claims to follow, because he doesn't have knowledge and he does not have light. So to strive to seek knowledge is of utmost importance. After this, he says, وَقَوْلِهِ, and the statement of Allah the Most High, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَسِيرًا. And Allah, he mentioned in his book, and the meaning of which is, and whoever opposes the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the guidance has been made clear to him, and he follows away other than the believers, then we will leave him to what he has chosen. We will land him in the hellfire, and this is the worst and most evil destination. And this is the worst and most evil destination. This noble verse here has so many great benefits. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That whoever opposes the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the guidance has been made clear to him, and he follows away other than the believers. At the time of the revelation of this verse, who are the believers being, or who are the believers that are referred to? The companions. At the time of the revelation of this verse, whenever Allah, he said, he first revealed this verse to the Messenger of Allah, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited it to his companions, and he recited it to the people, the believers and the disbelievers, and they heard the recitation. Who are the believers that were alive on that day? They are the noble companions, first and foremost. So Allah, he says that whoever opposes the Messenger after the guidance has been made clear, and he follows away other than the believers, and he follows away other than the believers. This is an indication of the obligation of obeying the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and not opposing him, and following the way of the believers, meaning following the way of the companions. This is what is being referred to here. This is an indication that that which they were upon is the proper understanding in the correct way. And likewise, what there was a consensus about, especially in those days, this is the way of the believers, and it's an obligation to follow it, and it's not allowed to oppose it. It's not allowed to oppose it. So it would suffice to say, in general, to that whoever opposes the messenger, then we will land him in the hellfire. Whoever opposes the messenger after the guidance is made clear, then we'll land him in the hellfire. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he added further detail, and he added the issue of, and he follows the way other than the way of the believers, an indication that one will not truly be obeying the messenger or following the messenger except by following the way of the believers. Because it is the believers, meaning the companions, there are those who witness the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are those who learn from him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the revelation was revealed occurring according to the events occurring in their lives. So they have the proper and the correct understanding of the religion. And they were the ones who lived and died upon faith. And said Allah, he mentioned about them that he's pleased with them. That he's pleased with him. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. So this is something that is well known. And this is a great point for the people to realize the obligation of understanding the religion in this manner, not in the manner that's in contradiction to that. There's a threat for this. Those who oppose the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the guidance is clear, and they follow away other than the believers, meaning they follow away other than the companions in their creed and their belief and their understanding of the religion, the principles that they have made up in their lives like this, other than the way of the believers, meaning other than the way of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the recompense for that, نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَسِيرًا. We will leave him to what he has chosen, and we'll land him in the hellfire, in such an evil destination. This is such an evil destination. This is Ibn Kathir, Ibn Kathir, he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that إذا سلك هذه الطريق جازيناه على ذلك بأن نحسنها في صدره ونزينها له. And this is the outcome, and this is the meaning of this verse, that whoever opposes the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after the guidance is clear, after he learns the guidance, after he sees the evidence, after he understands the aspect of the evidence, and he rejects that and he opposes that and turns away from the way of the believers, in the way of the companions specifically, radiallahu anhum, and those who are upon their way properly and correctly, what is the outcome for that? نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَسِيرًا. Ibn Kathir, he says that means that we'll recompense them. فَنُحَسِنُهُ لَهُمْ فَنُحَسِنُهَا لَهُمْ بِصَدْرِهِ وَنُزَيِّنَهَا لَهُ. That we will make that deviation that he has chosen seem appealing in his heart. And he will like that and prefer that. He will think it's a good way. He will follow that way. And he has a punishment and a recompense. And then he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said this is very similar to the statement of Allah the Most High, فَذَرْنِي وَمَنْ يُكَذِّبُ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ in Kaidi Mateen. This is a very important verse to pay attention to. And Allah, he says about them, then leave me alone with such as belie this Quran. And leave me to those who deny this Quran, and indeed we will punish them gradually from directions they perceive not. And we'll grant them respite for some time, and verily my plan is strong. So those who turn away from the guidance after it's clear for them, and they disbelieve or they reject faith, or they rebelled against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they're not careful, they will be led to their destruction. And they will be left to their whims. And their way will be made fair seeming to them. And they will prefer the ways of falsehood until they die and earn the anger of Allah in this manner. So to deviate after the guidance is clear is a very dangerous affair. Allah, he mentioned likewise, and Ibn Kathir, he referred to these verses. And he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Whenever they deviated, Allah, he caused their hearts to deviate. So deviating away from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and following away other than the companions is something that's very dangerous. We're discussing issues that are related to the soul. We're discussing the path to paradise. So we have a soul. And we're going to die. But the soul is going to move on to another life. And on the day of resurrection, the bodies, they will be resurrected, and the people, they will be taken to account. And there is a lot that is at stake. There are people who are going to enter paradise and be happy eternally in bliss and in ease and in joy and in comfort. And there are people who are going to be punished and in hellfire. They will be in agony and in grief and in pain and for eternity. So this life is a brief enjoyment. It doesn't last for anyone. So a believer, he has to learn the guidance so that he can check his soul with the reins of the legislation. So preference, show preference to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and work for the home in the hereafter. And many times a person who is sincere in their faith and they check their soul with knowledge and light and they hold fast to the limits of Allah azza wa jal, they suffice with that which is lawful, then many times Allah will open up this life for them and grant them the good of this life and the hereafter. So it's lawful to partake in this life. So it's allowed to take to partake in this life and to enjoy this life and that which is lawful. But the test lies in those limits. So there are things, there are lusts, and there are joys that are allowed that we can partake in, alhamdulillah. And then there are things that we're tried with, things that are pleasures that are forbidden, that it's not allowed to indulge in. And this is the test. We have to learn how to suffice with the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and not transgress those limits. And those who, after the guidance has become clear to them, they choose their desires and whims over that guidance, then they have this threat. نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَسِيرًا فَذَرَنِي وَمَنْ يُكَذِّبُ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ إِنَّ كَيْدِي مَتِينٌ فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبُهُمْ. This is something established in the Book of Allah in many verses. It's a principle in the religion, al-jaza'u min jins al-amal, that the recompense according to the type of action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned likewise, وَنَذَرُهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. We will leave them in their transgression, wandering blindly. Wandering blindly. And this is the recompense for those who have been granted the blessing of light and guidance, and they neglect it and show no preference for that. And they put that knowledge behind their back, or they step on it to use it to get a worldly gain. They'll be left in their transgression. They'll be left in their misguidance, wandering blindly. Even it could become worse than that, to where they will become happy and pleased. They'll become happy and pleased with their harm from deviation and misguidance, and they'll think that they're on a good way, and in reality, they're on a path leading to the hellfire. Ibn Kathir, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَجَعَلَ النَّارَ مَسِيرَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لِأَنَّهُ خَرَجَ عَنِ الْهُدَى لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ طَرِيقٌ إِلَّا إِلَى النَّارِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Meaning that this person, his destination in the hereafter will be to the hellfire because he turned away from the guidance. Therefore, he will have no path, no pathway on the hereafter, on the day of resurrection, except to the hellfire. And he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, احشروا الذين ظلموا وأزواجهم وما كانوا يعبدون من دون الله فاهدوهم إلى صراط الجحيم. Gather those who oppress themselves and likewise their companions along with them, those who used to worship others besides Allah, and lead them to the hellfire. And Allah, he mentioned likewise, وراء المجرمون النار فظنوا أنهم مواقعوها. And any on the day of resurrection, the criminals, those who transgress the limits and violate them, they will see the hellfire in front of them, and they will know with certainty that they will enter. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَصْرِفًا. They will have no way to be safe from that. So to be united in this life and upon the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is of utmost importance, not to deviate away from the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And after this, the author, he mentioned, he says, وَقَوْلِهِ, and the statement of Allah the Most High, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, do not be from the idol worshippers, مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. Do not be like the idol worshippers, the pagans and the polytheists, those who had divided their religion into different sects. Those who had divided their religion into different sects, and each party pleased with what it's upon. Each party rejoicing and pleased with what it's upon. So this is from the amazing signs of the power and the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whoever opposes the command of Allah azza wa jal, especially after the guidance has become clear, and he turns away from the truth and his people, then he'll be tried with falsehood and his people. Everyone who turns away from the sunnah, he'll be tried with innovation and misconceptions. Everyone who turns away from the people of haq, then he'll be tried with the people of batil. He'll be tried with the people of batil. So this is the case. So we're forbidden from that. وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, do not be from the pagans and polytheists. Who are they? What is their description? أَلَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا. They are those who divided their religion into different sects and different groups, and their different parties. And as a punishment for that, كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. Every party from among them, كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. Each one of them rejoicing over that which he has. Meaning this party is rejoicing over what he's upon. And this one rejoicing over what he's upon. But in reality, they're upon misguidance and they're upon deviation. And this is the interpretation of that verse. نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا فَذَرْنِي وَمَنْ يُكَذِّبُ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ وَأُمْلِي لَهُمْ إِنَّ كَيْدِي مَتِينٌ. These verses are explaining each other, clarifying the outcome of the one who opposes the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the guidance has become clear, and he chooses a path other than the path of the believers, that his recompense will be according. His recompense will be accordingly. That falsehood will be decorated for him, and he will be pleased with the evil in a lowly way, and he will like that and prefer that, and he will do the deeds of the people of hellfire until he dies in that manner. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. Until he dies in that manner, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. Because there are people who have been created for the paradise, and there are people who have been created for the hellfire. Allah, He knows who they are, and we do not know who they are. But likewise, Allah, He has sent us prophets and messengers and guidance alike, clarifying that there are deeds that the people of paradise, they do until they die, and Allah admits them into paradise because of their good actions and their righteous deeds. And likewise, there are deeds of the people of the hellfire that people, they will do them until they die in that manner, and thus they will earn the anger of Allah, and they will go to the hellfire. So we have been tried in this life, and we're tested. We're tested with the guidance and with the messengers that have come, and we must learn the religion properly and hold fast to that, and hope to be from the people of paradise, and fear to be from the people of the hellfire, and strive upon knowledge and strive upon light. And those who are sincere, they will be given success to have a good ending. And those who have deviation in their heart, many times they will not have a good ending. Many times they will not have a good ending. So again, this is from the threats that have come with regards to being divided and turning away from the guidance. And the point here is that the means of division and separation and rancor and hatred is by disobeying Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not holding fast to the guidance that was revealed. Not holding fast to the guidance that was revealed. After this, the author says, وَعَنْ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْجَمَاعَةِ وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْفُرْقَةِ فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ مَعَ الْوَاحِدِ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ أَبْعَدُ مَنْ أَرَادَ بُحْبُوحَةَ الْجَنَّةِ فَلْيَلْزَمِ الْجَمَاعَةَ رواه الترمذي وقال حسن صحيح غريب وصححه ابن حبان والحاكم. He mentioned here the narration of Umar radiyallahu anhu, that he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, you must adhere and hold fast to the jama'ah, and you must be cautious and avoid dissension and separation and division. And indeed, the devil is with one, and he's further away from two. And whenever a person, he is alone, then the devil, he will work with him and whisper to him in a great manner. And he'll be further away from him. He'll be further away from him whenever he's together. Whenever a person, he's with another, in the company of another. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and whoever wants to have buhbuhat al-jannah, any of the best of Jannah, in the middle of Jannah, to be safe in the paradise, then he must hold fast to the jama'ah. And it's narrated by Tirmidhi, and he mentioned that the narration is Hasanun Sahihun Ghareeb. Also, has been authenticated by Ibn Hibban and also Al-Hakim. This narration, as he mentioned here, has come in Jami' Tirmidhi, but it has come with additional wording. He only mentioned a portion of it. We read the entire narration. He mentioned this chapter in the book of Fitan, Kitab al-Fitan, Bab Ma Ja'a Fi Luzum al-Jama'ah, and the book of trials and tribulations, and the chapter that which has come about the obligation of holding fast to the jama'ah, especially in times of fitan. We see that whenever they're fitan in trials and tribulations, the means of safety and that which we have been ordered is to hold fast to the jama'ah, to those who are upon the truth, those who are upon the correct way. In this manner, a person, he can be safe from the trials. He mentioned with his chain to Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he says, خَطَابَنَا عُمَرُ بِالْجَابِيَةِ. Umar, he gave us a sermon, khutbah, in Al-Jabiyah. Jabiyah is a village in Dimashq. And this is a very famous khutbah that's been narrated and well known from Umar radiallahu anhu. So he says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنِّي كُمْتُ فِيكُمْ كَمَقَامِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِيكُمْ فِينَا. He said, oh, you people, indeed, I'm standing in front of you, and he establishing this the religion and the rights of the deen in the manner that the Messenger of Allah stood in front of us. Meaning, I'm standing in front of you the way the Messenger, he stood in front of us. And I'm transmitting to you that which he transmitted to us. And he mentioned the narration that he heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, "Usikum bi ashabi, thumma alladhina yalunahum, thumma alladhina yalunahum." He said, "I admonish you and advise you to hold fast to my companions, then those who follow them, and then those who follow them." ثم يشكو الكذب حتى يحلف الرجل ولا يستحلف ويشهد الشاهد ولا يستشهد. And then after that, meaning after these generations, hold fast to my companions, and then those who follow them, and then those who follow them, and after that, lying will become widespread. And that a person, he will take an oath, and he's not asked to take an oath. Meaning he will lie. He will take an oath and lying, and he will bear witness. And he will bear witness, and he's not called to bear witness. Meaning he will testify a false testimony. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala la yakhluwanna rajulun bimra'atin illa kana thalithuhuma shaytan. Indeed, a man, he will never be alone with another woman except for the devil is the third of them. And a man with another woman that's not from his family, not his wife, or not from his maharim, that a strange man and a strange woman, whenever they're together,
they're not alone. The devil, he is
the third of them, meaning trying to entice them to fall into fornication and to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a warning with regards to this. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, alaykum bil jama'a wa iyyakum wal furqa. You must hold fast to the jama'a, and I warn you from dissension and separation and division. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ مَعَ وَحِدْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ أَبْعَدْ. Because indeed the devil, he's with an individual, and he's further away from
two whenever they're together. مَنْ رَادَ بُحْبُوحَةِ الْجَنَّةِ فَلْيَلْزَمْ الْجَمَاعَةِ. Whoever hopes to have the best of paradise, then let him hold fast to the jama'ah. وَمَنْ صَرَّتْهُ حَسَنَتُهُ وَسَاءَتْهُ سَيِّئَتُهُ فَذَلِكَ Al-Mu'min. And whoever is pleased and happy whenever he does good deeds, and he feels bad whenever he does bad deeds, then this person, he is a believer. Then this person, he is a believer. Tirmidhi, he mentioned a number of narrations after this, and then he mentioned the comment here that the author he's referring to. And he says, قال Tirmidhi, he mentioned, تفسير الجماعة عند أهل العلم هم أهل الفقه وَالْعِلْمِ وَالْحَدِيثِ. Tirmidhi, he mentioned that the explanation of the jama'ah, according to the people of knowledge, is that they are the people of understanding and knowledge in the religion, the people of narrations. People of understanding and knowledge and narrations. Knowledge in the religion, understanding in the deen. So we have seen the interpretation of the jama'ah again. This is in accordance to what Tirmidhi is mentioning, rahimahullah ta'ala, the great scholar of hadith is well known. Died in the year 279, rahimahullah ta'ala, from the great scholars of hadith. And from the benefits of his work, Jami al-Tirmidhi, is that many times he will mention affairs related to the authenticity of the narration, and also issues with regards to the narrators, and also opinions and positions of the people of knowledge from the Salaf and the scholars of hadith, and whether the action is applied and those who use it and apply it. Like here we have here, he's mentioning what the people of knowledge, they mentioned the interpretation of the jama'ah referred to in this narration, whom ahlu fiqh wal ilmi wal hadith, that they are the people of fiqh and knowledge and the people of hadith. And the point here again is that from the attributes of the people of knowledge, the people of fiqh and the people of hadith, is that they hold fast to the congregation, that they hold fast to the jama'ah, and they listen and obey the Muslim authority, whether they're righteous or not righteous, whether they are righteous there or they're not righteous. This, the evidences for these affairs will come in more detail, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. This is because of the great evils that come about from revolting against the rulers and going against the authority. The evils that come about from that cannot be enumerated, nor can they be counted. Many people, they don't realize that until it's too late. And there's great devastation. There's great devastation and turmoil, loss of life and loved ones, property and wealth. So to take admonition from that which has preceded, this is something that's very clear. People who oppose the authorities, they're always in the end humiliated, and the outcome is never good. And no one in the history of Islam has opposed the Muslim ruler, except the outcome was foul. And the evils and the mafasid that came about because of that were greater and more severe than the benefits that they found. After this, the author, he says, وَعَنْ زَيْدِ بْنِ ثَابِتٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالْ سَمِعْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يَقُولْ ثَلَاثُ خِصَارٍ لَا يَظِلُّ عَلَيْهِنَّ قَلْبُ مُسْلِمٍ أَبَدًا إِخْلَاصُ الْعَمَلِ لِلَّهِ وَمُنَاصَحَةُ وُلَاةِ الْأَمْرِ وَلُزُومُ الْجَمَاعَةِ فَإِنَّ دَعْوَتَهُمْ تُحِيطُ مَنْ وَرَاءَهُمْ رواه ابن ماجه وأحمد واللفظ له وأصله عند أبي داود والترمذي وصححه ابن حبان. The author now, he mentioned the narration of Zayd ibn Thabit رضي الله عنه. He said that I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying that there are three traits that the heart of a believer will never find any hardship or rancor with regards to, and that is making the action sincerity and purity for the sake of Allah, and giving sincere advice to the rulers, the people of authority, and holding fast to the jama'ah. Because their call, it protects those who are behind them. And this is an example of the call of the believers. Whenever they're united behind the Muslim ruler, whether he's righteous or whether he's contrary to that, they're all united together and they're protected by their call, as if they're under the
defense. Hana means a protection. But whenever they start to deviate and they start to separate, now they wind up fighting one another. And the enemies of al-Islam, likewise, they take advantage of them. And in the end, it's nothing but bloodshed and chaos and turmoil and loss of life and loss of wealth. So whenever they're united, their call encompasses them and it keeps them safe and they are protected. And many times we'll look and see in recent history, many times in Muslim lands, no doubt, there were corrupt rulers, rulers that the people were not pleased with. If you look at those lands in those days with those corrupt rulers, and before, and now you look now after the revolution had occurred and the chaos and the turmoil, you'll find that many of them, they wish they could go back to those old days with those old rulers. They wish that they could go back to those old days with those old rulers. Because no doubt there was oppression or there was hardship and difficulty, but that compared to the circumstance now is like paradise and like Jannah. It's like paradise and like Jannah. Their relatives were alive and their families were united and their crops were thriving and they were going to their job and their masajid were visited and occupied. And now all of that is gone and finished. And many people have lost their loved ones, or maybe they don't even know where they are, haven't seen them or heard from them in years, all because of violating this great principle. All because of violating this great principle. So this is something that is clarified in the book and in the sunnah, and so many evidences here. The heart of a believer will never find any rancor or any hardship with these three affairs. Number one, making the action sincerity for the sake of Allah. And this is so amazing. The person who is sincere and truthful, and he does what he does for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of the people, his heart will never find any rancor. He'll never have any hardship. He'll never have any problems. But somebody who does something, and he does it hoping for something from the people, if he does not get what they want from them, then he's going to find rancor and hatred in his heart. He's going to find hardship or problems in his heart. But if he does it sincerely for the sake of Allah, if they cooperate with him as he's hoping, then alhamdulillah. And if they don't cooperate with them as he's hoping, then it doesn't bother him because he's not doing it for their sake in the first place. He's not doing it for their sake in the first place. He'll never find any rancor. He'll never find any problems. He'll never find any issues in his heart. He's not seeking the pleasure of the people in the first place. So if they're happy with him and pleased with him, it doesn't move him. And if they're mad at him and they don't like him, so long as he did the right thing and he's holding fast with the guidance, it doesn't bother him. Because he's not looking for the pleasure of the people, he's looking for the pleasure of the creator of the people. So if a person, he gives charity to another person, and he does an act of charity, and he gives him a gift, for example, helps him out, for example, with some money. If he does it sincerely for the sake of Allah, if that person shows thanks and he says, Jazakallah khair, he's saying, MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, wa yak. But if he is rude or if he's disrespectful, it will not bother him. But not bother him because he's not doing it looking for something from that person. No doubt the one who someone does a favor for him from the good and noble manners is that he will be kind and he will be respectful. But some people they're mean, or some people they're stingy, or they're greedy. Even if you do good to them, they're not happy. But the point is now about the one who is sincere. That will not bother him. No doubt he'll take a lesson, he'll know who he's dealing with, but he didn't do that for the sake of that person or hoping something from that person. So it's not going to bother him. He knows that his reward is with Allah. So this is from the means to have true happiness and contentment, to do the actions for the sake of Allah, and to do the deeds for the pleasure of Allah, and not for the pleasure of the people, not hoping for a reward in the worldly life. In reality, the author only mentioned a portion of this narration likewise. There's a portion before and a portion after. And from that is that Zayd ibn Thabit, radiallahu anhu, he says, we read the portion. He says, "Radiyallahu anhu, nazar Allahu imra'an sami'a minna hadithan fahafidahu hatta yuballighahu ghayrahu." That may Allah enlighten the face of a person who heard from us a narration, and he memorized it in order to transmit it to others. And he memorized it in order to transmit it to others. فَإِنَّ رُبَّ حَامِلِ فِقْهٍ لَيْسَ بِفَقِيهٍ. Because maybe someone will carry some knowledge and he will not understand it. رُبَّ حَمِلِ فِقْهٍ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ أَفْقَهُ مِنْهُ. And maybe someone will carry some knowledge to someone who has more understanding of that knowledge than him. And then he mentioned the narration here, that there's three affairs that the one who has them, he will never find any animosity in his heart. A believer who has them will never find any animosity in his heart. He mentioned that the one who makes the
acts with sincerity and purity for the sake of Allah, and the one who gives sincere advice to those in authority, and the one who holds fast to the jama'ah, does not rebel and go against the jama'ah, The one who remains in this manner, he will find peace, he will find contentment, and he'll be united with his brothers, and he'll be patient and hoping for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentioned, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, man kana hammuhu al-akhirah, jama'a Allahu shamlahu wa ja'ala ghinahu fi qalbihi wa atatuhu ad-dunya wa yaraghima. That whoever makes his main concern the hereafter, then Allah will gather his affairs for him. He will place contentment in his heart, and worldly life will come to him submissively. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ نِيَّتُهُ الدُّنْيَا فَرَّقَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بَيْعَتَهُ وَجَعَلَ فَقْرَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ وَلَمْ يَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا كُتِبَ لَهُ. And whoever makes his intention, his main concern, the worldly life, then Allah will cause his affairs to be in disarray, and he will place poverty in front of his eyes, meaning he will never be content and satisfied. No matter how much he gets from the worldly life, he'll never be happy and pleased. He'll never be happy and truly pleased. And the worldly life will not come to him except for that which is decreed for him, So this is an indication that we have to be content with that which Allah has decreed for us, and that which Allah has legislated. Hold fast to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, work for the hereafter, and work for the hereafter, not for this life. In this manner, a person, he can have goodness, and from that is holding fast to the jama'ah and not opposing the authorities and revolting against governments. This is the point from these narrations. He mentioned now the narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, من خرج من طاعتي وفارق الجماعة فمات مات ميتة جاهلية. That whoever revolts against the obedience of the authorities, he opposes the congregation, and then he dies, he'll die the death of the days of ignorance. Inshallah, we discuss this narration in our class to come. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.